right? What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that got the same score on Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Cheyenne, I'm Someone Now, Picardo.
All I need is this ashtray, the remote control, the paddle game, the magazine, this chair, and the sweet taste of victory.
Ian, Ansertron 3000, Faye.
I am here to destroy all of your trivia.
And Amy, the Reverend Brundle.
God bless you, my child. You're going to need it.
Hello, hello to everybody here today, and thank you for joining us for today's game. It is the third and final elimination match in our Season 6 Mark 7 division. Very, very exciting. Here to join us for that excitement is our good friend, Score Master Dan. Hi there, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. Well, I say this week's game is a bit of a milestone for us. Sometime in round three, we're going to have our 10,000th answer on the show. And this may be important information in wondering, how many different questions can there possibly be about the Thin Man?
And also with us today is Working the Boards production master Dave. All right, well, I think that's our cue to go into our first game of the day, a round of My Champion. This is a game where each one of our players chooses a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture, but we pick the battle those champions are fighting. Filmmaker and otherwise completely normal person, Cheyenne Picardo, who is your champion?
My champion is Naven R. Johnson from The Jerk.
He's a noted Snyderverse hater, and yes, he will fight you about it. It's Ian Fay. Ian, who've you got?
My champion is Montgomery Scott from Star Trek.
And you heard her on our December Golden Ticket episode, and now she's here in the regular season. It's lifelong musician and fantasy book lover Amy Brundle. Amy, who is your champion?
My champion is Ahsoka Tano from the extended Star Wars universe.
All right, three champions are locked in. Production Master Dave will be the judge today, so that means it's time to spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario. On this day in 1883, German political philosopher Karl Marx died in London at the age of 64. Who would best die in London at the age of 64? Cheyenne, why would the jerk himself, Naven Johnson, be the best at dying in London at the age of 64?
Well, after his first night of bliss with Marie, played by Bernadette Peters, he did talk at length about how time seems to bend when he thinks about it. So 1 week might be, 9 months, and like 1 hour might be 3 days, and all that good stuff. So there's a possibility that he could bend time in reverse, given that he seems to always like fall up. He always seems to fail upwards. So I think if he put himself back in time, he could die in 1864 just by using his own brain logic.
Okay. Thank you, Cheyenne. Ian, why is Montgomery Scott going to be the best at dying in London at the age of 64?
Well, I believe my champion is the only one of the three that is actually a time traveler. So he would actually be able to go back to 1883 specifically to die at the age of 64. On top of that, he's a heavy drinker and let's just say he's a large man who might have some heart issues. So, he could die at any time, especially after a night of heavy drinking while time traveling.
Thank you, Ian. And Amy, why is Star Wars' Ahsoka Tano going to be the best at dying in London at the age of 64?
So as far as dying at the age of 64, I think that that's entirely possible for Ahsoka because although she has the powers of wielding the Force, she cannot seem to stay out of battles, no matter how hard she tries. She left the Jedi, but then she ended up joining the rebellion. And so she's always fighting. So dying at what we would consider now a relatively young age is definitely possible. However, I almost feel like she's a bit disqualified because she's from a galaxy far, far away. And I don't really know that their older space equipment's going to get them all the way to the Milky Way so that she could be in London. So I'm not sure this is going to count.
Telling you why your argument is bad is my job?
The rare self-sabotage to garner sympathy from Amy. Three arguments all locked in. That is going to leave it up to production master Dave to determine our winner. Dave.
Well, Taylor's a big old softy, but I'm not. I have a black heart. Reverse psychology has no effect on me, Amy. You are correct. Star Wars takes place in a galaxy far, far away. I think disqualified just on the fact that she will never make it to London. Let's talk about the jerk versus Scotty. I can't find fault with Ian's case for Scotty. He is a time traveler. He is a drinker. He has all the elements to get to London and die in an alley outside of a pub somewhere. And as much as I like that torturous explanation for the jerk and using his mind somehow to bend time, this is the most direct path to success. Ian and Scotty win today's My Champion.
Woohoo!
Congratulations, Ian. You have won My Champion, which means you now get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly and you will earn half of a point. Here is your half point question. Speaking about marks, what are the two TV shows that prominently feature doctors, both named Mark Sloan?
ER and Grey's Anatomy?
You're half right in that Grey's Anatomy does feature Dr. Mark Sloan, but the other famous Dr. Mark Sloan comes from Diagnosis Murder, where he was played by Dick Van Dyke. Well, you may have missed the half point, Ian, but you do get to go first in round one, inging it. There are plenty of shows and movies that are just kind of inert, but we're going to put some pep in their step by adding ING to their title. We'll give you a description of a movie or TV show we've added ING to, and you give us the new title. For instance, if we told you that this movie has a bus wired to explode if it goes under 50, but they're in a 25 zone, you'd know that the new title is...
Speeding.
Speeding, absolutely. That would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, we can tell you a little bit more about the original, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Ian, we're going to start round one with you. It's a crudely animated comedy about profane valets.
Parking? South Parking.
Oh, after the buzzer, but it is indeed South Parking. Next up to Amy. It's a movie and TV show that follows Mercury astronauts as they try to perfect a classic Thanksgiving side dish.
Can I have the hint, please?
It's a 1983 movie and a 2020 TV series.
Okay, that did not help me. Still, the only thing in my head is stuffing.
You got the right ING word, but the full title is The Right Stuffing.
Oh, of course.
Next up to Cheyenne. A holiday rom-com movie in which a man brings his career-oriented partner home for his family's biblical punishment ceremony.
I think I'm going to need a hint for this one.
A 2005 rom-com.
Love Actually-ing? I don't know. No idea.
Amy?
It's The Family Stoning.
Oh, dear.
Absolutely, Amy. No points, but still correct. Back to Ian. A California musical romance about following your dreams and getting the plane safely back on the tarmac.
La La Landing.
For the full 10, correct. Next up to Amy. An 8-hour documentary about a classic rock band lining up support from venture capitalists.
Can I have the hint, please?
A 2021 documentary.
Oh my goodness, it's the Beatles thing that I haven't watched yet. I'm not going to pull it. Pass.
Cheyenne?
Get Backing.
Get Backing. That answer, yes.
Yeah.
Cheyenne, this next one's for you. Two stoners interact with aliens and try to figure out where all the love and compassion has gone.
Oh, man. Wait a second. No, wouldn't be Broad City-ing. I think I need the hint.
A 2000 comedy.
Harold and Kumar Go to White Castling?
This title, Dude, Where's My Caring?
Oh, no.
Next up, back to Ian. Kids in Wisconsin attend pre-release screenings of movies like Jaws and Star Wars.
Pre-release screenings, showings of event night. I'll take the hint.
A 1998 sitcom.
Seinfeld, not Kids in Wisconsin. I got that's 70 showing.
He got there. What a journey. Absolutely. For five. Next up to Amy. A superheroic anime schoolgirl makes use of her very short skirt to cheekily mock her opponents.
This is terrible. Sailor Mooning.
And next to Cheyenne. A woman must somehow win a punching battle against aliens while wearing a blindfold.
Oh boy, I need a hint. Sorry.
A 2018 horror movie.
This is definitely not my category. No idea. Sorry.
Ian knows this one.
Bird boxing?
Bird boxing,
no.
Correct. Well, that'll take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
All right. Well, this game is proven to be harder than I thought it was going to be. These are all ones that sound just terrible and obvious in retrospect. Right now, Cheyenne is shooting the moon. She's got 0 points. Waiting to get on the board. Amy is on the board with 10. Ian's in the lead. He's got 15.
All right, Ian, see if you can hold on to that lead with this next ING'd clue. An acerbic genius in Princeton Plainsboro figures out the root causes of homelessness.
Housing.
Yes. Next to Amy. A tense thriller about officers exchanging holiday greetings aboard a nuclear submarine.
Holiday greetings. Okay, I have some ideas, but I think I need the hint.
A 1995 military thriller.
Okay. That leaves out Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games, because none of that would make sense. Oh, no. Why are those the only two I can think? Never mind. Pass.
The answer here, Crimson Tiding.
Oh.
Of Comfort and Joy.
Amy was so disgusted in that whole process.
Yes.
Back to Cheyenne. A live-action cartoon hybrid in which a basketball player helps classic characters preserve some fruit.
They preserve some fruit. Canning. Let me see. Canning. What? Can. Can. Dry. Pickle. Can dry, pickle dry. Hint, please.
A 1996 family movie.
With, oh my God, I got nothing. Pass. My God.
Ian knows this one.
Space jamming?
Oh my.
Space jamming is correct. Ian, this next one's for you. The various corrupt institutions of Baltimore, Maryland are all connected by a faulty electrical system.
Oh, the wiring.
Yes. Next up, back to Amy. A man falls in with a domestic terrorism group that espouses toxic masculinity and staying out at night spots.
Oh, this is going to be fight clubbing.
Yes. And closing out round one with Cheyenne. A motley assortment of extinct mammals have to cope with finding a human baby and their own midlife crises.
Okay, mammals. Is it ice aging?
Cheyenne on the board at the end of round one. Next up, the scores from Dan, and onward to round two. Hey, listeners, it's Taylor here to tell you about what's going on our Patreon this week. This Friday morning, our silver and gold level listeners will get a special bonus game delivered to their feeds. That game is called Aaron Go Answer Some Questions. It's St. Patrick's Day this week, so we've got a trivia round all about St. Patrick's Day in popular culture. Movie scenes, TV episodes, and all kinds of popular songs have played on the day for wearing green and doing irresponsible things on weeknights, and we'll be quizzing you about them all. Get access to that game and dozens more Empty Studio episodes at usaquizshow.com/membership. Hope to see you there.
Going to round two, it's time for the Hawkeye score break. Hawkeye, just fine, but next time let's cut out Redder altogether, maybe? At this point, Ian is in the lead with 35 points. Amy's got 20. Cheyenne is in third place. She's got 10 points.
Means Cheyenne's now going to get a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Cheyenne, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You'll have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points for each answer you match. Here is your Threequalizer question. What are the next three entries in the Frankenstein movie series after 1931's Frankenstein?
Okay, well, I definitely know the second one is Bride of Frankenstein. The one after that, I'm going to guess, is Son of Frankenstein? Oh my God. And then I don't know if this is an official entry or a knockoff, but I'm going to guess it's Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
A great guess. Still 20 points for Bride and Son. That next entry was going to be Ghost of Frankenstein from 1942. Abbott and Costello not meeting Frankenstein until 1948, a little bit later. Still 20 points. Nice job, Cheyenne. Now we're going to stick on the theme of crazy science with round two entitled They Call Me Mad. Life from lifelessness, doomsday weaponry, animal-human hybrids, these are some of the reasons that our favorite characters studied in the mad sciences, but they can't achieve all their lofty goals without some help. In this game, we'll tell you where and when a scientist appeared and who is helping them out. You name the property that they're from. So, if we told you that this mad scientist from a 1985 movie gets a lot of help from a cool teen who's always hanging out with him for some reason, you'd know that we were talking about the movie
Back to the Future.
Yes, Doc Brown and Marty from Back to the Future. That answer would get you 30 points. If you're not sure, we can tell you about the scientist's core competency or even who played them, but the more hints you get, the fewer points you'll get for a correct answer. We're going to start this round off with Cheyenne. This is from a 1999 TV show. He has a whole starship crew that tests out his various inventions, and if they die, he can get another one.
Is this Doctor Who?
1999 TV show is Futurama, with Hubert Farnsworth being the mad scientist there. Next up to Amy, from a 1987 movie, with help from an albino played by Mel Smith.
That's not ringing any bells. Can I have the next hint, please?
His crowning achievement is a water-based pump that can drain years of life from a victim.
That did not give me anything else. Can I have the next hint?
The scientist's name is Count Rugen, played by Christopher Guest.
Okay, now my 9-year-old self wants to go take me behind a woodshed. That's the Princess Bride.
Absolutely, for 10 points.
Dark.
Next up to Ian, we're talking a 1986 movie. An investigative journalist played by Gina Davis helps out, in a way.
The Fly.
Yes, with Jeff Goldblum as that mad scientist. Next to Cheyenne, this comes from a 1988 TV show. Helped, though not that well, by TV's Frank.
This would be Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes, for the full 30. Well done, Cheyenne. Next up is for Amy. We're talking a 2008 TV show. The scientist can't seem to cope with reality at all without help from Astrid and his son, Peter.
Peter. Is this Fringe?
Yes, with Walter Bishop, played by John Noble on Fringe. Next up to Ian, we're in a 1975 movie. He gets help from Columbia and Riff Raff, who actually did most of the work.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Correct, for the full 30. 330 answers in a row. Love to see it. Kicking it back to Cheyenne, we're in a 1990 movie. Helped by not an official assistant, but local Avon salesman Peg definitely helps out his last creation.
Edward Scissorhands.
Another 30 with the inventor played by Vincent Price. Over to Amy, we're in a 1962 movie with a scientist helped by Miss Taro and the three blind mice.
Yeah, can I have a hint, please?
He's an expert on radiation, but maybe not that good with it, as it cost him his hands, which he had to replace with crude bionic facsimiles.
I don't think that's doing anything for me either. Can I have the next hint?
A character named Julius No, played by Joseph Wiseman.
Oh, okay. Well, that is Dr. No, James Bond franchise.
Yes, the first proper James Bond film, Dr. No. Next up, over to Ian from a 2009 TV show. He'd consider Sterling and the rest of the cast to be his sidekicks, but they disagree.
Archer.
Yes, Dr. Krieger from Archer. That'll take us to a score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Our players have really picked up the pace here. Ian is now in the lead with 125 points. Cheyenne is close behind with 90. Amy is on the board and still very much in the running. She's got 70 points.
All right, taking it back in, Cheyenne's comeback run. This next scientist is from a 2013 TV show. His nephew is a frequent, if sometimes unwilling, assistant.
I'm going to guess this is a show that I refuse to watch, but that I think is Rick and Morty.
Love going for the big points. That's 30 for Rick and Morty. Next to Amy, we're in a 1985 movie. He gets his roommate to help out, as well as his roommate's girlfriend, Scream Queen Barbara Crampton.
I think I know what this is, but I'm going to take the next hint.
He's all about trying to bring life back to human tissue.
Okay, the only thing I can think of is Weird Science.
In this case, that is going to be the scientist Herbert West, a character from the movie Reanimator. Next up to Ian, we're in a 1956 movie. He's assisted by his daughter, played by Anne Francis, who helps him out, but he really doesn't like the way she's been looking at Leslie Nielsen.
I know this one only because of Rocky Horror Picture Show, Forbidden Planet.
Absolutely. The alley-oop on those two answers. Next up, over to Cheyenne. This comes from a 2015 movie. He gets Caleb, played by Domhnall Gleeson, to help him out.
I have absolutely no idea on this one. Can I have a hint?
He's very interested in seeing if his android creation can pass a version of the Turing test.
Oh, this would be Blade Runner 2049. Please. Damn it.
Ooh, not quite. Ian, do you know this one?
Is this Ex Machina?
Yes, Ex Machina. Next up, over to Amy. We're looking at a 1993 TV show helped out by another laboratory mouse.
This is Pinky and the Brain.
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
I hoped I'd get this question.
For the full 30, and closing out round two with Ian, we're in a 2020 movie. No one really wants to help him out, so in the video game versions, he puts small animals into robot shells and forces them to give him a hand.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes, Dr. Robotnik, played by Jim Carrey in the movie from Sonic the Hedgehog. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and onward to our final round. Before we get to the last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode goes online, and you can win fabulous non-prizes like Scorebreak naming rights. Take it away, Dan.
There's a crack in my wall, which started out small. Just before I was wed, I jumped out of bed to help a bow-tied know-it-all.
Think you know what that is? Find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, and show off that knowledge to win the prize. While you're there, apply to be on a future season, or make suggestions about people you'd like to see on the show on our Dream Team suggestion page. Then find the answer to our riddle and plenty of other ephemera from the show that week at our social media pages. We are at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter. Hope to see you there. Thank you, Dan, for the riddle. How about a score update?
Absolutely. After two rounds of play, it's time for the 3D chess score break. 3D chess. Super smart people just play chess. It's complicated enough already. In 4D chess, we'd be just doing the same thing, but over time, which is how linear time works. At this point, Ian is in the lead with 185 points. That's because he had a perfect game in round two. Very rare for a full 150 points. Cheyenne has 120. Amy's in third place with 100 points. That means she'll have to go first in round three and will need to get 9 correct answers in order to pull into the lead.
But anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are The Imperator, Rankings, Here Be Us, and I've Looked at Stars from Both Sides Now. Now, these topics aren't 100% clear from their names alone, so do the best to pick something you think you're going to do well on. Or maybe you want to keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Amy, in third place, you get to choose first which of the four categories would you like. Once again, they are The Imperator, Rankings, Here Be Us, and I've Looked at Stars from Both Sides Now.
Okay, with generally no clue as to what these mean, I'm going to go for Here Be Us.
You want to throw out a guess as to what you're in for this lightning round?
Honestly, I got burned so much by the last lightning round I played that I don't want to hazard a guess.
Well, I will just tell you then, Here Be Us, Here Be Dragons. This is going to be all about pop culture dragons.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Amy, are you ready?
Sure. Let's do it.
Peter, Paul, and Mary sang about a dragon with this name.
Puff.
On Game of Thrones, a three-headed dragon is the sigil of this house.
The Targaryens.
Strong Bad dubs this cartoon dragon the Burninator in a Homestar Runner cartoon.
Trogdor.
This Bond actor voices Draco in 1996's Dragonheart.
Sean Connery.
This is the name of Pete's dragon.
Pass.
This giant puts on the Tarnhelm to become a dragon in Wagner's Der Ring des Nibelungen.
Pass.
Harry Potter faces this type of dragon in the Triwizard Tournament.
Hungarian Horntail.
Dragonair evolves into Dragonite in this media franchise.
Pokemon.
The second Hobbit film concerns the desolation of this dragon.
Smaug.
This video game dragon had a sequel game entitled Ripto's Rage.
Pass.
Hiram McDaniels is a five-headed dragon on this narrative podcast series.
Pass.
He voices the dragon Mushu in Disney's Mulan.
Eddie Murphy.
This Godzilla-adjacent dragon has also been called Monster Zero.
Pass.
In How to Train Your Dragon, Hiccup's pet can easily retract these bones.
Teeth?
This dragon visits Bastion at the conclusion of Neverending Story.
Oh no. Don't remember his name.
Falcor is that dragon's name. All right, Dan, let's hear the Amy report.
All right, so first let's go through the passes. Pete's dragon is named Elliot. The giant in Wagner that puts on the Tarnhelm to become a dragon is Fafnir. The video game dragon that had a sequel called Ripto's Rage is Spyro. Hiram McDaniels is a five-headed dragon on Welcome to Night Vale, that whole thing where he went on trial, but his only peers were the other heads, so they were the jury in his trial. It's a good show. You should try it. And finally, the Godzilla-adjacent dragon that's been called Monster Zero is King Ghidorah. You might remember a few minutes ago I said Amy needed 9 correct answers to move into first place. She got 9 correct answers, and Amy is now in the lead with 190 points. Cheyenne is up next. She's only got 120, so she'll need 7 correct answers in order to tie and 8 to pull into first.
All right, Cheyenne, you are up next. 3 options left up on the board. They are The Imperator, Rankings, and I've Looked at Stars from Both Sides Now.
For some reason, Rankings is popping out, and I'm really hoping that's about what rank a character has in a show, because I might be able to remember that. Let's hope I'm right.
You're not too far off, but this does include characters that have rankings, in that every answer in this round will include a rank in the U.S. Army in its name somewhere. 90 seconds on the clock. Cheyenne, are you ready?
I am ready.
According to a 1981 Hall & Oates track, these are watching you.
Private Eyes.
In 1985's Clue, Martin Mull has this savory role.
Martin Mull, Colonel Mustard.
In a Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, he has information, vegetable, animal, and mineral.
Major General.
Sylvester Stallone and Sharon Stone star in this 1994 action movie.
Pass.
Gary Cooper starred in this 1941 biographical Howard Hawks war movie.
Pass.
Matt Salinger, son of J.D. Salinger, played this Marvel hero in a low-budget 1990 movie.
Captain America?
Robert Duvall plays Robert E. Lee in this 2003 book adaptation.
Pass.
In an Elton John album title, he is paired with the Brown Dirt Cowboy.
Pass.
Maurice Bernard has appeared on nearly 3,000 episodes of this soap.
Pass.
This ABC drama spun off from Grey's Anatomy in 2007.
Pass.
This Dave Pilkey character wears a cape, tidy whities, and nothing else.
Captain Underpants.
This Abbott and Costello military comedy got a sequel in 1947.
Sergeant Bilko.
Buck Privates. Kurt Russell has this title role in a 1992 Martin Short movie. Captain Ron is that Kurt Russell title character. All right, Dan, let's hear the Cheyenne report.
All right, we have a streak of passes. Sylvester Stallone and Sharon Stone star in The Specialist from 1994. Gary Cooper starred in as the real-life Sergeant York. Robert Duvall plays Robert E. Lee in Gods and Generals. The Elton John album title is Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. Maurice Bernard has appeared in nearly 3,000 episodes of General Hospital. And sticking with the medical theme, the spinoff from Grey's Anatomy in 2007 is Private Practice. Shan got 5 correct answers, giving her a total of 170 points. Unfortunately, not enough to move her into the lead. Ian has 185 points, and he'll need to get just one correct answer in his round in order to take the win.
Ian, 2 categories left on the board. They are The Imperator and I've Looked at Stars from Both Sides Now.
Well, I'm terrified the other one is some sort of Broadway thing, so I guess it's going to be The Imperator, and I'm going to hope it's about ships of some kind.
It is not, but first of all, I need to thank you for finally picking the most unpicked lightning round we've ever had on the show. The Imperator has been on 6 episodes and never picked until now.
Oh, wow.
Yay!
Well, your guess is not super duper on. It is actually about Imperator Furiosa herself. This is the life and career of Charlize Theron.
I want you to note how far off you have to be before Taylor says, no, that wasn't close.
Yeah.
I was just terrified the other one was a Broadway one, which...
It's true. Sometimes I'd be like, well, it starts with the same letter. You almost got it.
It does take place on Earth.
All right. 90 seconds on the clock. Charlize Theron, Ian, are you ready?
Yep.
She wins an Oscar for playing Eileen Wuornos in this movie.
Monster.
She joins the cast of this action franchise in its 8th installment.
Fast and the Furious.
After North Country, she returned to Minnesota for this Diablo Cody written movie.
Pass.
She has dual citizenship with the U.S. and this country.
South Africa.
Her character runs for president in this 2019 rom-com.
Pass.
In Atomic Blonde, Theron kicks butt in this European city.
Berlin.
If Charlize Theron is the evil queen Ravenna, then she is Snow White.
Pass.
She appears in J'adore perfume advertisements for this company.
Dior.
In Prometheus, she sequel reboots this sci-fi franchise.
Alien.
Theron's Dark Places is an adaptation of this author.
Garth Marenghi.
Gillian Flynn. She works with this Love and Basketball director in Netflix's The Old Guard.
Pass.
She moves from Florida to Manhattan for her lawyer husband in this 90s flick.
Pass.
She's a recognized messenger of peace for this organization.
The Peace Corps.
The United Nations. Mackenzie Davis is a projection of Theron's younger self in this movie.
Pass.
She stars in a 2005 adaptation of this MTV animated series.
Aeon Flux, that one I knew.
After the buzz, Aeon Flux. All right, Dan, let's hear the Ian report.
Absolutely. Let's go through the passes. The Diablo Cody written movie, where she returns to Minnesota, is young adult. Charlize Theron's character runs for president in the movie Long Shot. Kristen Stewart is Snow White, opposite Charlize Theron's evil queen Ravenna. Gina Prince-Bythewood is the director of Love and Basketball, who also did The Old Guard on Netflix. It's in The Devil's Advocate that she moved from Florida to Manhattan to for her lawyer husband. And Mackenzie Davis is a projection of Theron's younger self in the movie Tully. Ian got 6 correct answers, which means our final scores are Cheyenne with 170, Amy with 190, and our winner with 245 points, it's Ian!
Ian! Woo!
Ian!
All right. Good job!
Thank you!
Congratulations, Ian. But that does mean it's now time to say goodbye to Amy and Cheyenne. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Had a super, super good time. Would love to have you on again in a future season. But in the meantime, Amy, is there anything you would like to plug or point our listeners towards?
I'm not super active on social media, but if you want to, you can check out my Instagram feed. It's at albrundle81.
Thank you, Amy. And Cheyenne, is there anything you'd like to plug?
This has been getting a lot of activity lately, which is my Instagram, which is of pictures of my laundry room free cycle, which is at Thermos Tattoo. And it's much more interesting than it sounds.
Fantastic. Thank you, Cheyenne. But the big congratulations today are for Ian. Ian, you're going to be moving on to the Mark 7 Division Finals. Before you come back, what are you going to be watching, listening to study up so we get your best game?
Clearly the collected works of Charlize Theron.
Great plan. And is there anything you'd like to plug?
I'm occasionally funny at Trivia Ninja on Twitter.
Fantastic. And listeners, you can also follow Ian as the robot emoji over on our season 6 bracket. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week for a special episode before our season 6 playoffs. It's almost time for the 94th Academy Awards, so we've got 3 special guests for an Oscar trivia special. Returning player Joe Reed is bringing along his This Had Oscar Buzz podcast co-host, Chris File, and they'll also be joined by Katie Rich from Vanity Fair and the Little Gold Men podcast for an Oscar-centric extravaganza. Do not miss it. For another week, I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Telling you why your argument is bad is my job?